Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, protesters over the weekend took to the streets nationwide. All over the country there was protests from Miami Beach to Berkeley, California, and everywhere in between. But there were a plenty of people in D.C. They were doing what they do, which is out there protesting, of which we're not quite sure exactly what they were protesting. We knew that they were upset at Trump. By the way, screaming you want him impeached, talking about the disdain for you have him, how he's evil and corrupt, and he's the most corrupt president of all time, and how he needs to be gone, and how can we get rid of him? He's like less than 24 hours into his gig when you guys are saying this. So take a deep breath. All right? I know some of you are upset. I get it. I don't get totally why, but you are. And by the way, why is it that when, and maybe Producer Phil, maybe you can answer this. Why is it that when there is a big movement going on, it's usually the most craziest that have a microphone and get to be on stage?
Because that's what makes for good TV.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, we got some of the celebrities and they were doing their thing, you know. You know, out there shouting and screaming and yelling. And the only one I give credence to, I thought had a good thing to say, was Scarlett Johansson. Maybe we'll play hers in a little bit. But outside of that, it was just a lot of the usual, you know, a lot of funny signs, a lot of people dressed up wacky. You know, nothing says take my movement serious like a 8-foot vagina walking down the street. All right, take that seriously, guys. Wow, I wasn't going to, but now I am. You know, the pink hats, that's your symbol, is the pink hat? That's your symbol. That was the symbol for a lot of people. It was the pink hat. It was the pink, like, you know, ski cap, right? That's the symbol right there. Oh, gotta watch this. It's a symbol of our unity. What are you unified for? Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm just here, you know. Oh, well, I'm unified for this. Well, I'm doing something a little bit different.
I'm looking to pick up women.
That would be the number one reason to go. Let's be real. Right? Because you know they're not keeping it. Oh, God, Chad, you said it. You're horrible. Look, there's no doubt that Trump has said a bunch of horrible things. There's no doubt that Trump has said and done some things, I'm sure, that make you go, ugh. But I'm not going to sit here and lambast the guy anymore for 90% of these people that get out there and scream and yell certain things, you know, in the world of celebrities. And in many ways, they're just as bad. I don't know if you saw this, but Jenna Jameson went off on Bill Maher. Just went off on him. Saying, I don't know who you think you are, Bill Maher, but you've done things, said things that have made me blush. Jenna Jameson's a porn star. She goes, I used to see you doing a lot worse at the Playboy Mansion. So to put your self out there. And that's the funny thing is I see too many people who scream and shout what an evil person this is, yet it's a selective kind of person that says, oh, I think he's evil. I know you did something similar, but I like you because you are progressive. Speaking of progressive, some of the people that were on stage and who has grabbed the microphone and made himself relevant, even though nothing he does anymore seems to be relevant, is Michael Moore.
Here's the power. Here's the majority of America right here. We are the majority. The majority of Americans did not want Donald J. Trump in the White House.
And I live in a van down by the river.
He's very similar to that as well. Was that Sean Spicer? Oh, my God. Oh, poor Sean Spicer. But look, I am not going to sit here and I laugh. Look, I think that they have every right to do what they're doing. And again, Michael Moore and Whoopi Goldberg and Madonna or Madge, as we all know her as, because we're all super tight and good friends. You know, they're going to get more press, right? They're going to get more. They're making more noise because of who they are, right? They're going to make that kind of noise because of who they are. But stop discounting people that voted for Trump. Stop discounting his presidency before he's got started. Stop discounting a lot of the stuff and give it time. You're supposed to be the bigger ones, right? Like, oh, we're progressive. We're bigger than you guys as far as the way that we act and our attitude. Huh? So just let it go, right? Let it go. This isn't a he said, she said thing. Let's figure out what takes place. And it's great that we can have this amazing situation where we have a transition of power on one day, and the next day we have God knows how many untold hundreds of thousands and millions of people, not only across the nation, but worldwide, who are out there marching. But let's get you marched straight, too. That's the other thing. Marches and movements are successful when there is an end game to it. That was the issue, I think, this weekend. There was a lot of people screaming for a lot of different things. The Tea Party was a one-party kind of thing. We want limited government. We want low taxes. We want them out of. You ask a Tea Partier what they were here for, they will tell you, and almost every one of them will give you the same answer. You ask the 500,000 people, the million people, whatever it is, why are you here? A good majority of them are going to give you a completely different answer. They're here for different reasons. I mean, you know. It's what was the movement? I thought this weekend it was about women. I saw a lot of things out there that weren't about women. I did. We move from there to Whoopi Goldberg, and she's out and about doing her thing.
This is magnificent. But this can't end today. This has to go on and on. This is how people ended the war in Vietnam.
So are you hoping to end Donald Trump's presidency, to put so much pressure on him that he resigns, or that what? I'm curious. I mean, again, look, I'm all for protesting. Go for it. Absolutely. Use your voice. Get out there and do it. Have an end game. Have a plan. What's it going to be? Get out there and do it. Hell yeah, do it. Use that voice. Use your clever signs. Use all of those things. But you know what you could do, too, is you could get out and campaign for people that you think are going to carry the values that you hold dear. You can do a lot of stuff like that. Look, I come from the most progressive state of all. One out of every 45 women in this state was at the march. Think about that for a second. One out of every 45, that's bigger than the population of San Francisco or Sacramento. Massive amount of people were there. What's your agenda? What are you trying to do? What is it? Is it pro-choice? Is it immigration? Is it Islamophobia? Is it LGBT? What is your, this is it? You're coming here and it's jumbled and we're all together. It's a hodgepodge of stuff. I said give him a chance. And you got to give him a chance. I don't have to give him a chance. He's not my president. Actually, he is your president. You can pretend he's not your president, but he's your president. Let's just put it this way. If you're on an airplane and you're flying and you're sitting back there and you say, he's not my pilot, guess what? He's your pilot. All right? The guy up there is your pilot. You may not want to be.
That's the best analogy I have heard, Chad. That was awesome.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. So let's just deal with the fact. One person out there that I saw the celebrities made sense. And that was Scarlett Johansson. And listen to what she had to say, because apparently Scarlett, and I think she was there for pro-choice. I think that was her thing. She talked about how Planned Parenthood helped her out when she was 15. I think she was there for that. But she echoed what I have said all along for a lot of people out there in a very adult way.
President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives.
Well, I think you're living in fear, but you know what? She wants to support him. And I think a lot of people, if you understood that, that's what we should want for our country, right? Like, I want to support my president. May not agree with them always. And let's also remember that you always don't have to agree 100% with what a president done. Every president is going to let you down because they're human beings. And remember, you're not all things to all people. People are going to get hurt. They're going to get butt hurt. They're going to get upset about things. But I think you listen to her and she sounds like she's the adult in the room. And she's the hottest of the adults in the room, also is a bonus on this National Pi Day. I'm just saying. And it was the Women's March. Chad. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the Chad Benson Show, 323-538-2423. And it is National Pi Day, so don't be giving me any lip. All right? I didn't make it up. 323-538-2423 and call the program 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Theo Epstein. You don't know who he is? You should. He is a god of baseball, yet he's never, ever, 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 ever had a hit, struck anybody out, scored a run, had an at-bat, played in the field. We'll talk about him and what he says about his rule to getting ahead in life. Straight Edge, Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah! Let's get crazy!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome, awesome.
I think he's like 38 years old. He's going into the Hall of Fame for sure in baseball if he never does anything ever again. For orchestrating the two greatest things that could probably ever happen in baseball, which is get the Cubs and the Red Sox World Series. Theo Epstein is his name. He's 28 when he was named the GM. Think about that. What were you doing at 28 years old? He was named the general manager of the Boston Red Sox. He was named the GM of the Boston. This isn't the GM of some, you know, single A baseball team. This is one of the most hallowed franchises, you know, in the history of our great game. And he was named the general manager. Ted Williams, right? Yastrzemski, Babe Ruth at one time. I mean, this was the Green Monster, Fenway. And here he is at 28. Then, after orchestrating, two, three World Series with them, after not winning for 86 years, he goes over, and within a few years, the Cubs win a World Series, first time in like 5 million years. It was 106 years the Cubbies hadn't won, something like that. Theo Epstein is great, and he talks about why he gets ahead in everything and what it's like. And it's so funny. It was actually 108 years for the Cubs. This is the advice that this guy gives is amazing. And I love the fact that he gives this advice and he points it out in such a way that I think he's really aiming it at a younger demographic, i.e. the millennials. But I don't think the problem is, again, if you want to hide stuff from a millennial, put it under a work boot. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you do, right? And that's the way we feel. Not that all millennials are like that, but we kind of have that sense of everybody gets a trophy and we're all, I'm be an intern, but I'm going to be paid. And I would like to know that I'm going to get a job offer and you're offering me that. But there's no way because I want to be vice president. I know I've only been doing this for a week. But I feel I have the, you know, the belief and the understanding of not much to do this. He has a 20% rule. He says what you do, whoever your boss is, they have 20% of their job that they hate, right? That they can't stand. So what you do is you find out what part of the job does your boss hate to do that you can do, and you figure it out for them. You work hard, you work extra, and you improve their quality of life with their work experience. In other words, do the parts of the job that your boss hates, and guess what? You get ahead. He says, by diving into less glamorous work, you'll actually, A, gain respect, and B, you'll get invaluable experience for yourself. That, to me, I find to be so very true. Look, I do a radio show here. I have producer Phil, and I have Anthony. Anthony and I work side by side. Phil's in a different part, but we're all connected all day long. All of us do stuff that we don't like. Poor Anthony here does the website every day, and it's a pain in the ass. We all do stuff we don't like. I read, I get up, I do lots of stuff. If I got to produce stuff, I'll produce stuff. There's no shame in the game. There is no, you've got to figure out how to do that. And I don't think people understand. And there's a difference between kissing ass, which I think a lot of people see through, and actually going, so-and-so hates to do this. Why don't I learn how to do some of this? Because the invaluable experience is right. Because a lot of times that 20% that your boss doesn't want to do is 20% that, quite frankly, is necessary to be the boss. And what you're doing is you're making yourself more valuable to a company and an organization by doing things like this. Theo was one of those kids and one of those guys that was always a worker. Get ready for this. He worked full-time. And by full-time, 70 hours a week was what he was working. By the way, while he was doing that, he was also getting his Juris Doctorate from San Diego School of Law. So think about that. He was working 70 hours a week and studying at night and during the morning to get his law degree. That's what he was doing. You probably don't see that much anymore. Again, it's work. You want to hide stuff from, you know, a millennial, put it in a book or under work boots, right? Like then it's like, I don't know where it is. Put it under a mouse, they're going to find it, right? Put it under a keyboard, they're going to find it. Hide it in a video game, they'll locate it. Put it under a chores list? Nah, going to happen. Put it in a book? Probably not going to find it. Put it under a boot where there may be work attached to it? Never going to look under there. So find out what your boss hates doing. And again, chances are it's the valuable part of the job because many of us, you know, look, it's, the radio side of what we do here is fun. The rest of the stuff is can be arduous at task. So find out what the boss likes, you know, hates to do. Learn what it is. Become valuable. You watch what happens then. Invaluable experience and learning, and you'll make yourself valuable to the company and to your boss. You Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We know that from the platform where the president was sworn into 4th Street holds about 250,000 people. From 4th Street to the media tent is about another 220,000. And from the media tent to the Washington Monument, another 250,000 people. All of this space was full when the president took the oath of office. We know that 420,000 people used the D.C. Metro public transit yesterday, which actually compares to 317,000 that used it for President Obama's last inaugural. This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
And I live in a van down by the river.
Sean Spicer is having a problem. We were sitting there talking. I don't know how long. He's going to drop dead on the old. That's the way I feel. That's unfortunate, but I think he's going to have a coronary episode. He's just, his face is red. He's like, he's pulling his pants up higher and higher. Let me tell you something. It's the most people I've ever seen in my life. It was 8.5 billion people here. More people than on Earth. People came here from different planets to see him. He's the best. I love him. Oh, I counted every one of them. I have a clicker and I counted. I'm Sean Spicer, damn it. I felt so bad for him. Just that's his first impressions of the press corps, this guy having just this episode up there. Let me tell you! I was like, whoa.
Let me tell you something!
Just calm down! I've got to tell you guys right now, there's 600 million people that shut up this weekend! There's only six people here for the protest.
What was that, Fire Marshal Bill?
Yes, like that. I don't know what it was. We've lost our minds. I don't care how many people showed up at the little shindig on Friday. And we can all move on from that. But I just told Bill, I said, I got to hear some more Sean Spicer because he's on point. And then today he's in there and he's as combative as that. He is combative. I'm telling you, he's going to tase somebody. Sean, I'd like to ask you. He's not long for this. He's like, somebody's like, dude, Trump's going to go, dude, your guy is a little high strung. Maybe a little less decaf. Maybe a little bit less. Maybe just take a breath every once in a while. Calm him down. Maybe before he can, I don't know, he can do something, right? Like something. He got to do something because it's not working, whatever he's doing. One chance to make a first impression, and I don't think he made the best of impressions. But we'll see. He's the new spokeshole for this White House, which, by the way, the have you seen the new sleek version of the White House? Is it whitehouse.gov? I don't know what it is. I've never been there. But whitehouse.gov, I think it is. It's no more languages other than English. It's just it. They got rid of the LGBT place. They got rid of the anything to do with climate change. They're streamlining. It's going to like, this is Donald. There's just going to be a picture of Donald. I'm president. That's it. I don't know. They got rid of a lot of that stuff. You knew this change was coming, right? Here's the thing. The one thing that I don't think people realize is Donald said he was going to do a lot of stuff. And then here it is like day one. It's like he's still working. It's 8:30 on the East Coast. He's still working, 8:40. He's out there busting his butt. 5:40 here on the West Coast. People getting off work and stuff. Donald's been working for 14 hours, going to continue to work. He's got stuff to do. He's a busy man. I'm busy, busy, busy. As producer Phil has said, he is going to come in. He's going to come in under budget and early with his I think he's going to do in a year and a half what it takes other presidents 4 years to do. He may screw it all up, but he's going to get it all done. At this rate, he may build that wall himself. We should build out of Legos. That'd be awesome. Look at these Legos. Speaking of Legos, you know, I'm going to post that tomorrow. Phil, I've got something we can be angry about. I will send you the picture at the break, and I'm going to post it tomorrow. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm going to do it tomorrow. We have got the perfect thing to get people all snowflaked.
I'm ready.
We have got the perfect thing to get. I went to Legoland 2 weeks ago with Jack, and I have got the perfect thing to snowflake the hell out of people. It's right in your face. So be with me, people. Be with me. If you use the internet a lot.
Snowflake you?
Snowflake you. Isn't that like it? Like, snowflake you. Oh, God, I'm so snowflaked right now. Like, it's perfect, right? Like, that's the perfect thing to say to people. I mean, I got snowflaked. Oh, my God, that's the worst. You got a little snowflake on you. if you use the internet, as we all do, you go to Facebook. A lot of times you look at Facebook, right? You've got your friends, right? You got some acquaintances, some people you probably never met, but you friend them, and you're your online friends, and we've got this opportunity now to talk to everybody we possibly can from all over the world, from Japan to some probably one or two nations that have internet in Africa, to Australia, to everywhere. I've got friends all over, most of which I've never met. I've got followers and stuff like that. Most of it I've never met, but I try to be very fair in what I post. I post both sides of every argument because I think that's what we need to do in this country anymore. We've stopped having a discussion, and all we do is yell at each other. But this new this new study that's just come out, by the way, by somebody real, actually shows that online communities reinforce old ideas and exclude new ones. What? No. Yeah. It's from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. And what it says, their data modeling says, is essentially that we tend to hang with our own, right? Because our own will reinforce our ideas. Our own will tell us we're great. Our own will essentially, we go there for, I want to be vindicated. I want to be right. You guys support me. And I've got my blinders on to anything new that may be out there. Both sides do it, left and right. It's not just the right side of the aisle. It's left and right. It is. It's insane. And it shouldn't be a shocker to anybody, right? Like, but look at the way we do things now in life in general. You want to go somewhere and watch a movie? No. I want to stay at home and watch a movie. What do you want to watch? I don't know. I'll pick it when I want to pick it. Okay. What news do you want to watch? Well, I'm right-leaning, so I want to watch Fox. Well, I'm left-leaning. I want to watch MSNBC. What website do you go to? I go to the Daily Kos and Huffington Post. Oh, because you lean to the left. Yep. And they're going to reinforce my ideas. What do you read? I go to Breitbart and the Blaze. Why is that? Because it reinforces my ideas. It gives me the side of the story that I want to hear, not the side that may challenge any of my notions. This shouldn't be a surprise. I don't know why they say, oh, we were surprised by the facts. Why are you surprised by the facts? And how much did you get for this? I've been talking about this for years. I could have told you that. You could have given me some of that money. We could have gone out and had fun. Right? We could have. And look, when we go onto the internet and we look at stuff like whatever it is, Breitbart, you know, or Huffington Post, you're going there because you do want your side to be validated, right? You already have a thought process, which is, I think President Trump is a racist, misogynistic, horrible human being, or I think he's a patriot. He's going to make America great again. And he's misunderstood. You've chosen your sides, and you want to hear you validate. You don't want to hear that the other side may have some data that contradicts your data, and that data may indeed be real data. You don't want that. You want no part of any of that. And that's the sad thing that we've come to. Diversity of thought is the greatest diversity of all. We should have, you know, that should be the number one thing when we talk about diversity. Diversity of ideas, diversity of not skin color, not gender politics or gender identities, none of that stuff, but diversity of thought, right? Getting everybody's point of view. And let's hearing what people have to say. And then let's look at the facts. Do they back up? Do they add up? As I've grown older, because when you're a kid, you think you know everything, right? But the older you get, the more wisdom you have, the more understanding of the world, you realize that what you think you know, you may know, but it's such a small portion of what's out there and the knowledge that's out there. So to really learn, you've got to be open to hearing different ideas. And people use Facebook and social media not to explore other ideas, not to hear what somebody else has to say, but to validate who they are and what they believe. And that, you know, it's sad. It's sad because we've got a great tool to be able to talk to people. We've got a great tool to be able to sit down and have a conversation and say, well, why do you believe that, you know, this? Well, I just do. Well, what are your facts? Here are my facts. Well, I didn't even know that because these are my facts. I didn't know those were your facts. Yeah. Well, they don't really, you know, your facts don't add up. My facts don't add up. Well, somewhere in the middle is the truth. But we're afraid to do that because we are so hell-bent on being right. Like, that's the most important thing. I need to be right. My politics needs to be right because I now identify as my politics. And I need to be right. No, what you should be is, if you want to be right, you should be honest and open. That'll lead you to the right answer. But unfortunately, many people out there don't want to hear that answer. And so you'll continue to put the blinders on and go straight down the aisle and continue to get validation and the same kind of praise from the same people who believe the same thing you do, even if they may be wrong. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love getting text messages from you. Also, you can email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com, or call us 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. We'll wrap it up for this Monday night, talk a little Super Bowl, and with President Obama now, former President Obama, what does he get in his pension? What's that thing look like? It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Wrapping it up on this Monday night. We are 13 days away from the Super Bowl. Yesterday, two teams dispatched easily their foes to catapult themselves into position to win Super Bowl 51, which will be played at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. The Falcons easily pack the Packers away. Aaron Rodgers ran out of players to throw the ball to, and the Falcons were all over. And by the end of the first half, it was over. And that was that. I was joking with producer Phil earlier. It's one of those things where if this was a normal Sunday, they would have come on the TV and said, you know, we're now going to move you to a more competitive game. And that's not what you want if you're the NFL and there's only two games on and one's being played now and one's being played later. There is no more competitive games on. What happens is people go, and now I'm going somewhere else to do something else and take my eyes off the TV. Falcons won that one, led by Julio Jones, and they've got a great quarterback in Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. The good team, good defense. We'll see what happens. They're taking on a team that I think in this modern day is the dynasty of dynasties in all of sports because it's so hard in football. And you've got this great team that is the Patriots. You've got Bill Belichick, and you've got Tom Brady. But on top of that, you've also got their owner, Robert Kraft. And last night, Robert Kraft, the owner, Bob, we call him Bob, who was hanging out with, I think it was Bon Jovi what's his name? That moose, I always forget his name. Stephen Gaskowski, it's their kicker. Gronkowski is up there because he's injured. And he gets the trophy, right? You get the AFC Championship trophy. You're out there. You're in the field. There's 80,000 people. Jim Nance is asking you questions. And Bob, I do not think, was prepared to be in front of a microphone.
What would you like to say about this team?
For a number of reasons, all of you in the stadium understand how big this win was. But we have to go to Houston and win one.
Robert, Jonathan, congratulations.
Will we do this? Never mind. I hope we win a game. Go for the team. He was a bit hammered. I like it, though. You know what? Enjoy it. Your team. Nothing wrong with a little success, little celebration success. President Obama is now former President Obama, which means he's going to collect himself a pension. And guess what? His pension is going to be $207,000 for the upcoming year. That's about half of what he got as president. He also gets 7 months of transition service to help adjust to post-presidential life. On top of that, he gets lifetime Secret Service protection as well as allowances for such things as travel, office expenses, communication, and health care coverage. You had to work for the federal government for 5 years. The living presidents all have that except for Jimmy Carter, who did not. And they also get this travel office expenses every year, ranging anywhere from $200,000 to $800,000. But think about putting a cap on that. Basically, you get $200,000 for each, your pension, and you get $200,000 for travel expenses. But if you make X amount of dollars as president, which they all do giving speeches, that goes away. You'll always get your pension, but your travel expenses, I have zero problems. It's not like it costs a lot of money for the taxpayers, but it's just something else they don't need. And I have no problem giving them Secret Service for the rest of their life. It's not like they get 50 of them. I have zero problem with that. Because I think if you're that kind of person and you're in that situation, there are going to be people around the world that hate you. And there will be people around the world who would like to take a pot shot at you. So I have zero problem giving them Secret Service for life. Johnny Manziel, ex-football player, had a lot of issues, wants to return to the NFL. He does. He's been talking about it. He's getting off of all the social media. He says he's sober. He wants to get back. He says, you know, football is the only thing in life that he loves, and he has made a ton of mistakes. And he's also given some advice to Donald Trump saying, you need to get off Twitter. the Heisman Trophy winner who was cut by the Browns earlier this year and who actually showed that he's got some skills. And I think what may help him is, you look, if you've got some skills, people are always willing to give you a second chance. The second thing that I think will help him is Dak Prescott and had a good year. And I think teams will go, you know what, we'll give this guy a chance because he's got that kind of feel. He's got a Heisman Trophy. He understands what his play, you know, if we can get him in here and get him situated, maybe he'll be all right. But, you know, look, we're a country of second chances, man. We're a country of second chances. And I think he's going to get himself a second chance. I hope he does. And I hope he takes it. I hope he takes it. I'm all about giving people second chances in life. And I think this guy, while he was an idiot and a young asshat, he was Justin Bieber on the football field. I think, you know, like Justin Bieber, he's got a bit of talent. There's nothing wrong with second chances. Solid fun show today. You can email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Check out chadbensonshow.com. You know how to spell my name? Come on now. C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And check out our Twitter as well, @ChadBensonShow. For my man Anthony, my man Phil, my name is Chad Benson. Wherever you are tonight, be safe, my brothers and sisters. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.